نحمده نصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها آمين يا رب العالمين جزء 16 الحمد لله from سورة الكهف آية number 75 onwards إن شاء الله قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا Al-Khidr said, Did I not tell you that with me you would never be able to have patience? So just as a reminder to us, Musa a.s. was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to meet Al-Khidr to teach Musa a.s. that someone else knew more than him. Someone else had knowledge that Musa a.s. had not been given. So Musa a.s. after a long journey finds Al-Khidr and he respectfully asks him if he could accompany him so he could learn from him. Khidr says that you will not be able to have patience with me because you cannot encompass of my knowledge, meaning you will not be able to understand what I do. So Musa a.s. says, You will find me if Allah wills patient, and I will not disobey you in any order. However, the very first thing that Khidr a.s. did was to tear open a boat. So Musa a.s. is quite shocked by this, because he feels that in his Sharia and he knows that destroying someone else's property is a grave sin. So he questions Khidr alayhi salam, Have you torn it open to drown its people? You have certainly done a grave thing. Now we have no proof that Khidr alayhi salam was a prophet. However, he was a special person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Musa alayhi salam was not given the knowledge that Khidr alayhi salam was given. So because Musa alayhi salam did not understand why he had torn out and broken that boat, he questioned him immediately and Khidr alayhi salam reminded him, Did I not say that with me you would never be able to have patience? So Musa alayhi salam said, Do not blame me for what I forgot and do not cover me in my matter with difficulty. Please do not be hard with me. He apologized. The Rasul of Allah apologized to this man. So they set out until they met a boy and he, Khidr, killed him. Moses said, Have you killed a pure soul for other than having killed a soul? Meaning this person, this boy is innocent. You have certainly done a deplorable thing. And now he was openly criticizing Khidr. Al-Khidr said, Did I not tell you that with me you would never be able to have patience? That's all he replied. He did not answer him and he did not tell him why he did that. And this was a test for Musa a.s. Moses said, If I should ask you about anything after this, then do not keep me as a companion. You have obtained from me an excuse. So they set out, until when they came to the people of a town, they asked its people for food, but they refused to offer them hospitality. And this was the way in ancient times, because they did not have any inns or hotels, that they could ask for food from the townspeople and it was incumbent upon them to help them. But these people refused. Allah says, And they found therein, in this town, a wall about to collapse, so he, Al-Khidr, restored it. He built it back up. Musa said, If you had wished, you could have taken for it as a payment. Since the people of the town had refused to offer them hospitality and give them food and shelter, Musa alayhi salam said, That's fine if you built it up, but in return we could have asked them for some help. Al-Khidr said, This is parting between me and you. I will inform you of the interpretation of that about which you could not have patience. So Al-Khidr finally stopped and said that Musa alayhi salam could not accompany him anymore, but before he let him go, he gave him the answers as to why he was doing those strange things, the things that seemed strange to Musa a.s. As for the ship, he said, it belonged to poor people working at sea. So I intended to cause defect in it, as there was after them a king who seized every good ship by force. So in order to safeguard the ship, Al-Khidr had broken it up because he knew that the king who was coming down the river would look at it and would not take it. In this way, the avenue of earning living for this family would be preserved. And then he says, as for the boy, his parents were believers, and we feared that he would overburden them by transgression and disbelief. So we intended that their Lord should substitute for them one better than him in purity and nearer to mercy. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that boy away from those parents, the believers, the simple innocent believers, because this boy was going to grow up and cause them a great deal of pain. So Allah saved them from that. And instead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to provide them with a better son, a good son. Someone who would be nearer to mercy, meaning he would be kind to his parents. And then Al-Khidr continues and said, and as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the city, and there was beneath it a treasure for them, and their father had been righteous. So your Lord intended that they reach maturity and extract their treasure as a mercy from your Lord. And I did not do this of my own accord. That is the interpretation about that which you could not have patience. And here was a family, two orphan boys. Their parents were righteous, but they had passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the reward, the parents the reward, by taking care of the orphan boys even when the parents were not there. So after their demise, so that people would not discover the treasure, Allah ordered Al-Khidr to rebuild the wall. Otherwise, if it had broken down, people would have come and dug around that area to build something else, and they would have extracted the treasure, and the boys would not have obtained anything from it. One theme that seems to run through these three stories, these three events of Al-Khidr, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected with extraordinary means the families who are pious. In the incident of the boat, the whole family was alive and Allah protected their livelihood. In the incident of the boy being killed, the parents were the ones who were pious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took something terrible away from them and replaced it with something better. In the story of the wall that was rebuilt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the future of the children whose father was dead but had been righteous. So Allah watches out and protects people who are righteous. Whether they are in this world or they have left, Allah takes care of their children as well and their futures. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that if Musa had more patience, we would have learned more. The fourth and final story in Surah Al-Kahf is about Dhulqarnain. Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الزِّلْقَرْنَيْنِ قُلْ سَأَتْلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. And they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about Dhulqarnain. Say, I will recite to you about him a report. Indeed, we established him upon the earth, and we gave to him everything away. That means Allah gave him all kinds of resources to use. They were at his disposal. Allah says, so he followed away. Until when he reached the setting of the sun, meaning the west, he found it as if setting in a spring of dark mud, meaning in a hot spring, perhaps. Allah says, and he found near it a people. We, meaning Allah, said, O Dhulqarnain, either you punish them or else adopt among them a way of goodness. You are a ruler over them, do whatever you will. He, Dhulqarnain, said, as for one who wrongs, we will punish him. Then he will be returned to his Lord, and he will punish him with a terrible punishment, meaning hellfire. But as for one who believes and does righteousness, he will have a reward of the best, meaning Jannah. And we, Dhulqarnain, will speak to him from our command with ease. So who was this Dhulqarnain? Dhulqarnain was a righteous king whose story is mentioned in the Quran. And it is said that people think that he is Alexander the Macedonian, but he is not. Ibn Taymiyyah says in his book, Eliminating Contradiction Between Mind and Text, it is wrong to think that Dhulqarnain, who is mentioned in the Noble Quran, is Alexander, son of Philips, whose minister was said to be Aristotle. To claim so is pure ignorance, for Zulqarnain lived much earlier than him and was a monotheistic Muslim, as we see in the text from the Quran. It is said that he was Alexander ibn Da'ara or Alexander ibn Philips, with whom the Romans begin their history, and who was before Isa a.s. by about 3,000 years. So Allah shows us that he ruled those people justly, and then he went on another journey. Until when he came to the rising of the sun, Allah says, meaning the east. So we see that Allah is telling us he would travel extensively all over the earth, all the way from the west to the east. Allah says there, he found it rising, the sun, on a people from whom we, Allah, had not made against it any shield. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not taught them to build shelter. They were so primitive. Thus, Allah says, meaning that was the affair of Zulqarnain, and we had encompassed all that he had in knowledge. Then he followed away. Then again Zulqarnain travelled. Until when he reached a pass between two mountains, he found beside them a people who could hardly understand his speech. Again, these were also primitive people who had their own speech and dialect. They said, O Zulqarnain, indeed Gog and Magog are great corruptors in the land. Who are Gog and Magog? Known as Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they are two populated nations. They are from the offspring of Adam alayhi salam, and it is proven in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the High and Glorious would say, O Adam, and he would say, At your service, at your beck and call, O Lord, and the good is in your hand. Allah will say, Bring forth the group of denizens of fire. He, Adam alayhi salam, would say, Who are the denizens of hell? It would be said, They are out of every 1,999. He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, It is at this juncture that every child would become white-haired, and every pregnant woman would abort, and you would see people in a state of intoxication, and they would not be in fact intoxicated, but grievous will be the torment of Allah. He, the narrator, said, This had a very depressing effect upon them, upon the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who amongst us would be that unfortunate person who would be doomed to hell? He said, Good news for you. Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be those thousands who would be the denizens of hell, and a person selected for paradise would be amongst you. So we see that at that time Gog and Magog existed, and they were causing a lot of corruption around their area. So these people whom Zulqarnain came upon said to him, So maybe a sign for you an expenditure that you might make between us and them a barrier. Can you make a barrier so that they are unable to cross it and cause corruption and fitna? He said, That in which my Lord has established me is better than what you offer, but assist me with strength, meaning manpower. I will make between you and them a dam. Bring me sheets of iron. Until when he had leveled them between the two mountain walls, he said, Blow with bellows. Until when he had made it like fire, he said, Bring me, that I may pour over it molten copper. So this was a wall made of iron, and it was covered with molten copper. Allah says, So they, meaning Ya'juj and Ma'juj, were unable to pass over it, nor were they able to effect it in any penetration. Zulqarnain said, This is a mercy from my Lord. But when the promise of my Lord comes, meaning when the hour of resurrection approaches, He, Allah, will make it level, and ever is a promise of my Lord true. So Allah says about Ya'juj and Ma'juj, And we will leave them that day surging over each other, and then the horn will be blown, and we will assemble them in one assembly. Imam Bukhari and Muslim narrated from Zainab bint Jahash, who reported that one day Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out in a state of excitement with his face quite red, and he said, There is no God but Allah. There is a destruction in store for Arabia because of the turmoil which is near at hand, as a barrier of Gog and Magog has been opened like it. And he, in order to explain it, made a ring with the help of his thumb and forefinger. I said, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would we be destroyed despite the fact that there would be pious people among us? He said, yes, when the evil would predominate. So the barrier that Dhulqarnain had built was open a small amount at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When will they be able to break that barrier? There are different ahadiths in Sahih Muslim and others where we learn that Ya'juj and Ma'juj will appear after the descent of Isa alayhi salam, who will kill Ad-Dajjal. And then a hadith in Sahih Muslim states, then a people who Allah had protected would come to Jesus, son of Mary, and he would wipe their faces and would inform them of their ranks in paradise. And it would be under such conditions that Allah would reveal to Jesus, peace be upon him, these words, I have brought forth from amongst my servants such people against whom none would be able to fight. You take these people safely to Tur, Mount Tur. And when Allah would send Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and they would swarm down from every slope, the first of them would pass the lake of Tiberias and drink out of it. And when the last of them would pass, he would say, there was once water there. Jesus, peace be upon him, and his companions would then be besieged there at Tur, and they would be so much hard-pressed that the head of the ox would be dearer to them than 100 dinars, and Allah's apostle Jesus and his companions would supplicate to Allah, who would send to them insects which would attack their necks, and in the morning they, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, would perish like one single person. Allah's apostle Isa alayhi salam and his companions would then come down to the earth, and they would not find in the earth as much space as a single span which is not filled with their putrefaction and stench. Allah's apostle Isa alayhi salam and his companions would again beseech Allah, who would send birds whose necks would be like those of Bactrian camels, and they would carry them away and throw them where God would will. Then Allah would send rain, which no house of clay or the tent of camel hairs would keep out, and it would wash away the earth until it would appear to be a mirror. So Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be the last major sign before the Day of Judgment. Although no one knows where they are living now, there is no doubt in their existence on this earth. Allah then tells us, after that, the horn will be blown, and we, Allah, will assemble them in one assembly, and we will present hell that day to the disbelievers on display, those whose eyes had been within a cover removed from my remembrance, and they were not able to hear, people who refused to listen to the Quran or to understand it. Then do those who disbelieve think that they can take my servants instead of me as allies? Indeed, we have prepared hell for the disbelievers as a lodging. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shall we believers inform you of the greatest losers as to their deeds? They are those whose effort is lost in worldly life, while they think that they are doing well in work. People think that they are doing good deeds, but all of it is lost. Because they disbelieve, Allah says in the next ayah. Why is it lost? Those are the ones who disbelieve in the verses of their Lord and in their meeting Him. So their deeds have become worthless, and we will not assign to them on the day of resurrection any weight. Remember, there will be a balance to weigh our deeds. Allah says their deeds, the deeds of disbelievers, will have no weight that day. That is a recompense, hell, for what they denied, and because they took my signs and my messengers in ridicule. Indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, they will have the gardens of paradise as a lodging, wherein they abide eternally. They will not desire from it any transfer. And why would they? Allah says, Lahum jannatul firdausi nuzula, as lodging, as hospitality, they have al-firdaus. Al-Firdaus is the highest part of paradise. Its ceiling is the Arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. Say, if the sea were ink for writing the words of my Lord. What are the words of Allah? كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي. The words of Allah are His unlimited knowledge, or His words describing His attributes and His grandeur, or praise of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, say, if the sea were ink for the writing of words of my Lord, the sea would be exhausted before the words of my Lord were exhausted, even if we brought like it as a supplement. Meaning, if all the seas of the world were doubled and used as ink, they would be used up as ink. But the words of Allah, the commands of Allah, what Allah can do, it can never be exhausted. Qul, say, innama ana basharum mislukum. Say, I am only a man like you, to whom has been revealed that your Lord is one God. So whoever would hope for the meeting with his Lord, let him do righteous work and not associate in the worship of his Lord anyone. Allah says, you wanted to know the words of the Quran? You wanted to know the stories of the previous people? Because remember, the kuffar came with certain questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered those questions in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah says, what is more important? Don't test this man. Believe in him. Believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you hope to meet Allah, then believe and do righteous deeds and do not die while you associate anyone with him. May Allah make us of these. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we have completed Surah Al-Kahf. And now onwards to Surah Maryam. Maryam, Mary, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. We know that this surah was revealed in Mecca because Ja'far bin Abi Talib recited the verses of this surah when the Muslims were brought in for questioning in the court of the king of Ethiopia. The king of Ethiopia was Christian, and remember, a lot of Muslims had traveled there as refugees from Mecca, and they were settled over there in this non-Muslim nation. However, the Quraysh sent an emissary to the king of Ethiopia to demand that the Muslims be sent back to them. So the king wanted to investigate, and he invited the Muslims to come and answer some questions. At that moment, Ja'far bin Abi Talib recited the verses of Surah Maryam. And when they heard it, their beards were wet with tears. The Christians who were in the court broke into tears. And Nejus, the king, said that the Quran and that which Isa alayhi salam had brought is all the same. And they are all rays of the same torch. Subhanallah. He recognized the truth and then continued to give protection to the Muslims over there. It is narrated that he accepted Islam, and upon his death the Prophet ﷺ performed his funeral prayer from Medina. Surah Maryam, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Kaf ha ya ayn sad. Zikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. This is a mention of the mercy of your Lord to his servant Zechariah. Zakariya alayhi salam was the uncle of Maryam alayhi salam. Maryam alayhi salam was under his care while she was brought up in the temple. So Zakariya alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he saw that Maryam alayhi salam would receive fruit out of season. And he saw that miracle, especially when he asked her. Remember, we have studied in Surah Ali Imran. When he asked her, where do you get this from? She said, this is from Allah. So Allah says, when he called Zakariya alayhi salam to his Lord, a private call, meaning a private dua, he said, my Lord, indeed my bones have weakened and my head has filled with white, and never have I been in my supplication to you, my Lord, unhappy. So he is inspiring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. You have always accepted all of my du'as. What a beautiful way to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give weight to your du'a. He says, and indeed, I fear the successors after me, and my wife has been barren. So give me from yourself an heir who will inherit me and inherit from the family of Jacob, and make him, my Lord, pleasing to you. So from the deepest recesses of his heart, and in a way that other people would not hear, he privately called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the heart's desire. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that prophets do not leave dirham nor dinar but they leave knowledge. So Zakaria alayhi salam wanted a son who would inherit religious authority from him and not the others in the family, because they in his mind were not deserving. So he was told, Zakaria alayhi salam was told, "O Zechariah, indeed we give you good news of a boy whose name will be John, Yahya. We have not assigned to any before this name, so this name was especially chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him." He said, Zakaria alayhi salam said, "My Lord, how will I have a boy when my wife has been barren and I have reached extreme old age?" Subhanallah. This was the human part of him. When he made this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these words are exactly what he had mentioned. He had said, "Well, I am extremely old and my wife has always been barren." But now that Allah was giving him the good news, he suddenly questioned it and said, "How is that possible?" We see that Allah was also touched by his words. So Allah preserved them in the Quran for us. An angel said, "Thus it will be, your Lord says, it is easy for me, for I created you before while you were nothing." Zechariah said, "My Lord, make for me a sign." He said, "Your sign is that you will not speak to the people for 3 nights being sound," meaning without any illness or defect, you will not speak to people for 3 nights. So he came out to his people from the prayer chamber and signaled to them to exalt Allah in the morning and afternoon. Allah said, "O John, Ya Yahya, take the scripture, adhere to it with determination. Khuzil kitaba bi quwa." And notice that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions taking a hold of the book, he always adds this adjective to it, bi quwatin, with a lot of strength and determination. This is how we also need to hold fast to our scripture, with a lot of determination, not to let it go. Allah says, "And we gave him judgment while yet a boy." So Yahya was given wisdom when he was still a boy, and affection from us, and purity, and he was fearing of Allah and dutiful to his parents, and he was not a disobedient tyrant. Why was this boy so special? Remember the dua of Zakaria alayhi salam in Surah Ali Imran? Allah tells us that he said, "Qala Rabbi habli min ladunka zurriyatan tayyiba innaka sami'ud du'a." He wanted a tayyib child, a pure child, a good child. So Allah gave him a child who was inclined toward deen, toward religion, from a very, very young age. And he gave him judgment, hikmah, when he was still very young. And he was a pure child. He was hananan, affectionate and caring towards others. Zakatan, pure, not into evil or bad things. Taqiyya, he feared Allah from a very young age. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, he was dutiful to his parents. And he was not what? جَبَّارًا عَصِيًا. Jabbar, very harsh, rebellious child, disobedient, عَصِيًا. Allah says, "And peace be upon him the day he was born, and the day he dies, and the day he is raised alive." So Allah already has sent peace upon him. Salamun alayhi yawma wulida. Because that is a very frightening and overwhelming event for a child coming out of this mother's security, the mother's womb. Wa yawma wulida wa yawma yamutu wa yawma yub'athu hayya. The day that he dies. Another very frightening point. And the day he is raised back to life. Allah has already sent peace and blessings, so he would be at peace at all 3 points in his life. The 3 major points, milestones in his life. May Allah make us and may Allah make all our children like this. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Waskur fil kitabi Maryama. And mention O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the book the story of Mary when she withdrew from her family to a place toward the east. And she took in seclusion from them a screen. Then we sent to her our angel, and he represented himself to her as a well-proportioned man. So Jibril alayhi salam came to her in the guise of a human being. Maryam alayhi salam had withdrawn herself from her family to worship in the temple. And Allah tells us that she used to live in a mihrab. So while she was in seclusion, Jibril alayhi salam came to her in the form of a handsome man. She said, "Indeed, I seek refuge in the Most Merciful from you, if you should be fearing of Allah." So she warns him, and she is afraid, and she asks him to leave immediately. He said, "I am only the messenger of your Lord to give you news of a pure boy." Now note that when the news came to Zakaria alayhi salam about his son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the words good news. But with Maryam alayhi salam, Allah only says news. It was good news, but at that moment it was the most frightening thing that a young girl can face in her life, to have a child without being married. Allah says about Isa alayhi salam, the baby that she was going to have, غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا, a pure child, a good child. She said, "How can I have a boy when no man has touched me and I have not been unchaste? وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا, she has not been rebellious." And we see that in her behavior when she sees a strange man come into her mihrab, she is at once afraid and very uncomfortable. So she is not used to hanging around with and spending time with men who are not her relatives. We have been told that only Zakaria alayhi salam would be allowed to visit her in her place. So she asks him a question. He said, "Thus it will be. Your Lord says, it is easy for me, and we will make him a sign to the people and a mercy from us, and it is a matter already decreed." Isa alayhi salam was to come as a mercy for human beings. So she conceived him, and she withdrew with him to a remote place. As a pregnancy started showing more and more, and in order to give birth, she moved to a secluded place, and she was alone by herself. This young girl, who is having a child, and is not married. And she comes from this family of scholars and prophets. How agonizing it must have been. Allah says, "And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. She said, 'Oh, I wish I had died before this, and was in oblivion forgotten.'" We see her anguish in these words. "But he called her from below her." Now there is a difference of opinion among scholars as to whether he refers to the baby or to the angel. So the call was, "Do not grieve. Your Lord has provided beneath you a stream. And shake toward you the trunk of the palm tree. It will drop upon you ripe, fresh dates." She was alone by herself, but she had to make a little bit of effort. It was said to her, "So eat and drink and be contented. And if you see from among humanity anyone say, 'Indeed, I have vowed to the Most Merciful abstention, so I will not speak today to any man.'" Then she brought him to her people carrying him when she had the baby. They said, "O Mary, you have certainly done a thing unprecedented." And they accused her, "O sister of Aaron, your father was not a man of evil, nor was your mother unchaste." They wanted to shame her, so she pointed to him, the baby. They said, "How can we speak to one who is in the cradle a child?" Jesus, peace be upon him, said, "Indeed, I am the servant of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. And he has made me blessed wherever I am, and has enjoined upon me prayer and zakah as long as I remain alive, and made me dutiful to my mother, and he has not made me a wretched tyrant. And peace is on me the day I was born, and the day I will die, and the day I am raised alive." That is Jesus, the Son of Mary, the word of truth about which they are in dispute. This was the second miracle given to Isa alayhi salam. The first one was that he came from a virgin birth. The second one was that he spoke as a child, a newborn baby, in the mother's of his arm, and he exonerated his mother right there. And Isa alayhi salam says that he is dutiful to his mother. So another part of a good child is that the child is dutiful to parents, kind and merciful toward the parents. And with him as well, just as Yahya alayhi salam, he says, "Wassalamun alayya yawma walidtu, peace is upon me the day I was born." And he was peaceful. Shaitan did not touch him. Because remember, his grandmother a long time ago had asked that Maryam alayhi salam and her child or her children would not be touched by Shaitan. And also Isa alayhi salam says that peace be upon him the day I will die and the day I am raised alive. Isa alayhi salam himself was a miracle. Allah says, however, it is not befitting for Allah to take a son. Exalted is He, Subhanahu. إِذَا قَضَىٰ أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. It is not befitting for Allah to take a son. Exalted is He. When He decrees an affair, He only says to it, Be, and it is. Why did Yahya alayhi salam want a son? Because he wanted a son to inherit him, even though it was not money, but to inherit him in religion, religious knowledge, the stature of prophets. He wanted it to be passed on to his own child. Because Zakariya alayhi salam would die eventually. He knew that. Allah does not need anyone to take the torch from him, because Allah is Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. Zakariya alayhi salam had to ask dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants something, He only has to say kun, and it is. Allah tells us what Isa alayhi salam himself believed. Allah says in the next ayah, Jesus said, And indeed Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship Him. That is a straight path. Haza siratum mustaqim. Then the factions differed concerning Jesus, peace be upon Him, from among them. So woe to those who disbelieved from the scene of a tremendous day. How clearly they will hear and see the day they come to us. But the wrongdoers today are in clear error. And warn them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the day of regret, Yawm al-Hasra. Yawm al-Hasra, when people will regret what they have done in the past. Allah says, warn them of that day when the matter will be concluded, it will be judged, everything will be accomplished and finalized. And yet they are in a state of heedlessness and they do not believe. Indeed, it is we who will inherit the earth and whoever is on it, and to us they will be returned. And mention in the book the story of Abraham. Indeed, he was a man of truth and a prophet. Mention when he said to his father, O my father, why do you worship that which does not hear and does not see and will not benefit you at all? O my father, indeed there has come to me of knowledge that which has not come to you. So follow me, I will guide you to an even path. O my father, do not worship Satan. Indeed, Satan has ever been to the most merciful disobedient. How was Azar and his people worshipping Satan? They were obeying Shaitan by worshipping idols. Why was Ibrahim alayhi salam's faith so unswerving? Because his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was complete. He knew that Allah alone can hear, Allah alone can see, and Allah alone can benefit or remove harm. The very first thing he wanted to do was to invite his father. Every child loves their father. But his father was set in his ways. The father was influenced by Shaitan. Being the father of a prophet did not help him at all. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was sincere when he told his father, O my father, indeed I fear that there will touch you a punishment from the most merciful, so you would be to Satan a companion in hellfire. And it is so amazing that Ibrahim alayhi salam uses the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the most merciful, Ar-Rahman. Because Allah is merciful, except Allah draws a line at shirk. That is when Allah punishes. His father said, Have you no desire for my gods, O Abraham? If you do not desist, I will surely stone you, so avoid me a prolonged time. He told him to leave him, go away, otherwise he will hurt him, physically hurt him. Subhanallah, Ibrahim said, Salamun alayka, peace be upon you. I will ask forgiveness for you of my Lord. Indeed, He is ever gracious to me. And I will leave you and those who invoke other than Allah and will invoke my Lord. I expect that I will not be in invocation to my Lord, unhappy, meaning disappointed. Allah allowed Ibrahim alayhi salam to make dua for his father because he had promised him and Allah wants us to keep our promises. However, Azar's end will not be different from what Ibrahim alayhi salam warned him about. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, On the day of judgment, Abraham will meet his father Azar, whose face will be covered in grime and soot. Abraham will say to his father, "Have I told you not to disobey me?" Then his father will tell him, "I will not disobey you today." Abraham will say, "O my Lord, you have promised that not to humiliate me on the day of resurrection. No dishonor is worse than driving away my father from your mercy." Allah will say, "I have prohibited paradise to disbelievers." Then it will be said to Abraham, "Look near your feet." Then, when behold, a hyena stained with blood is taken by the legs and thrown into the hellfire. This tells us that Ibrahim a.s. will see his father in the form of a hyena with thick hair and stained with blood, so that he renounces him at once. Allah tells us in the next ayah, "So when he, Ibrahim a.s., had left them and those they worshipped other than Allah, we gave him Isaac and Jacob, and each of them we made a prophet. The next three generations of Ibrahim a.s. became prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him unbelievable gifts in this dunya, and he will give him unbelievable gifts in akhirah as well. Allah says, "And we gave them of our mercy, and we made for them a mention, reputation of high honor."